Join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does God look like? In 2017, a Seattle-based video company partnered with an illustrator named Koji Minami to bring children's ideas about what God looks like to life. Here are the results. What does God look like? If you sat down with Koji Minami, what would you want him to draw? What features would appear on the page? What images would sprout to life? First John doesn't tell us about the shape of God's nose or God's age, or as some of the children very explicitly wanted to talk about, the sex of God. Instead, we hear this. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God's love lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. How God looks is a mystery to us, but there's something that might get us pretty close. Maybe it's even better. If we love each other, God's love gets into us and it becomes perfect. It becomes whole, complete. We get to know what God is like because of love. That may not sound as shocking to us. In our culture, love language is everywhere and used somewhat indiscriminately. As you know, I love Costco cake and I love my children. I love God, and I love the Durham Bulls baseball team. And even though I use the same word for both, for all of those, you can probably guess which I have a stronger commitment and feeling towards, even if I use the same word to describe all those things. The writer of 1 John did not live in the love language saturated culture we live in today. In the thousands of Greek texts written at the same time as the sermon, the noun love almost never appears. And the few times love is described as an action, it's pretty bland. To love is to be content, to like something, to prefer. It was likely a shock for this congregation hearing this sermon to hear John say that God is not just loving, but love itself. And that this love isn't just a preference. It's this all-encompassing intensity defined by a willingness to die for the beloved as Jesus died on the cross. God is love. A love that moves in two different directions. In one direction, we know that anything that God does is an overflow of God's loving self. So if God creates in love. If God judges, that's justice as an overflow of God's love. If God provides, it's a provision of love. If God's involved, the source is the love. That is God's very being. In the other direction, if we want to know about God, we find ourselves in places and with people who look like love. Do you all remember that game where you would try to help someone find an object in the room by saying warmer or colder? If they're getting close to the object, you say warmer, and further away, colder. You're getting warmer, you're warmer, red hot, burning. Eventually they find the object. John is saying this about God. Do you see people who love one another? Warmer. Is that love willing to give up something for others to thrive? Warmer. Do they stick close to the love of the Creator? You're hot. Do they live without fear? You're burning up. But whoever does not know love, colder, colder, they do not know God. Ice cold. John's sermon is more than just a litmus test for who's an actual Christian. The preacher of this church has just witnessed a split in the congregation. We read in other parts of 1 John that some people have gone out from the church. other people who are still in the church are teaching that Jesus wasn't actually God, not really like you and me, maybe just a spirit. There's fractures and painful divisions. And that usually means a lot of blame and hurt. Our worship today remembers another time when the church was broken by division and violence. On this Tuesday, this past Tuesday, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of Anabaptism. On that morning, in a little house in Zurich, a small group of believers met for worship. At a time when church and state were intertwined, even a gathering like this outside the confines of the state church was illegal. But what happened next really pushed this small group into direct confrontation with the church state. The men reread Jesus' teaching and came to believe that baptism created a visible church, people who consented to enter a radical alternative to the violence and corruption and abuse they saw all around them. So they baptized each other, pledging to follow Jesus' path of peace as far as it would take them. And almost every one of those men was killed by the state over the next few years. Thousands of other Anabaptists were drowned and burned and hung and tortured to death for the crime of this insurrection against the state. We are the spiritual ancestors of those first Anabaptist believers, gathered here today because this eruption of the spirit of love sat down in Switzerland 500 years ago. We're here because of love. We're here because the Spirit of God, who is love, swept across a people 500 years ago. We're here because even when faced with persecution and death, our spiritual ancestors refused to meet their enemies with violence because God is love. The Bible that we read never makes a case for the existence of God. Instead, over and over again, we're shown what love looks like, what love looks like when it's made whole in us. If we were asked to draw a picture of what God looks like, you might draw a picture of someone acting in love. You might draw a picture of Mennonites singing inside the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol to protest the genocide in Gaza. And you might draw these people as the police plucked them from the ground one by one to arrest them. You might draw a picture of Kathy and Elizabeth and Zach in their kitchens, baking dozens of rolls and gallons of soup to feed the people who slept on this floor over the weekend, unhoused neighbors who were in danger of extreme cold. You might draw the ordination service for a Javanese Mennonite pastor that happened a few years ago. In that picture, you would see Danang Christawang's Muslim friend reading poetry and a dance performed by the local Sufi community. You would draw a picture that reflected the decades of peaceable living, community, and friendship cultivated by Mennonites and Muslims in Indonesia. You might draw a picture of the cell groups in Ethiopia when the Emperor Haile Selassie forbade public worship, forcing Mennonites to worship in secret. In those small groups, you might draw them resisting the nationalistic propaganda and instead teaching one another that God loves the world without exception. What does God look like? Well, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. We are sharing with a global community this week, celebrating our shared anniversary. And with them, we are learning that there is a cost to love. Our spiritual ancestors knew this. And if we are reading the signs of the time, we may see that God's love perfected in us will cost something too. Each time God's love shows up in people, that love brings danger and instability for the powerful, especially for the power of the state. And at every point in history, those powers have attempted to crush God's love in people. And yet, we live out our days without fear because the perfect love of God casts out fear. Do you love your siblings, your neighbors, your enemies? Do you want to see the face of God? Because you are the living, breathing love of God in this world. Amen.